Digital 410 Media proudly presents the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast with your hosts, Don Abernathy, Jeff Copsetta, and Dennis Blocker.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast, your favorite World War II-based podcast. And we're all back here together as one big happy family. Well, Jeff's not happy. He's sitting in the oven tonight because, well, you know, life. Who needs air conditioning in Texas, right, Jeff?
I mean, in August, you don't really need it. It's only 91 degrees in my house right now.
You know, that reminds me, my brother decided to get married in Vegas in August. Yeah. He had us sit in our tuxedos in front of the Bellagio to get that one photo, and unbeknownst to us that the fountains were under maintenance that day, so they were not in schedule. So we sat out in the August Vegas sun and tuxedos in front of the Bellagio forever and a day. But yeah, so I kind of know what you feel like. I'm sure it's only, what, 105 in Texas today?
In the shade, yeah.
It's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat.
Like my dad says, yeah, so is my oven, but I don't want to stick my head in it.
No, it's not a dry heat down here anyway. It's humid, very humid down here.
I don't know. I probably got you beat on the humidity scale. I don't know, Jeff, you got the experience. When you were sitting out in the old defunct coconut plantation on Pine Island, were you saying, boy, this reminds me of your home? Or were you all saying, damn, it's hot out here?
Yeah, no, I mean, it is more humid. Dennis is right. San Antonio definitely has more humidity, I think, than where I'm at here in Burnett. But we're higher up. It is a little drier. But nobody beats Florida for humidity. Nobody. Like, Florida is the only place where when you get out of the pool, you're more wet in Florida.
Jeff's all sweating his P-41s. I had on P-42. They're dual-layered and reversible. I had on P-42 pants. I'm like, la-di-da-di-da, I'm used to this. I usually wear wool in this. That's the joy. That's why we don't do a lot of reenacting in the summertime down here. It's just too damn hot.
Yeah.
So tonight we're going to go down the we covered it a little bit last week on the best of, or the redeployment episodes we like to call it here on the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast, and that is the Battle of Guadalcanal, and seeing how it is still August 12th, you know, we're still within the realm of that battle, and so we figured we'd go down a little more detail on that. And I, like Jeff, had a great idea, and that is, you know, let's present the audience with some of the books that we think provide some of the best detail on Guadalcanal, and I have a sneaking suspicion that some of us have the same books stacked up in our room. And so, Jeff, you know, I'll let you kick it off.
Yeah, well, like we talked about last episode, you know, I covered a lot about the World War One that I've been studying here lately, and I'm going to share that book list as well. Don, you can probably just push that on social. I'll get you a good photo of my recommendations there. But I came across this term from a friend. They said you need a junk food book too, and I didn't quite understand what they were talking about. But when you're so, like, you're just reading scholarly stuff all the time, sometimes it's nice to, like, hey, you know what, I love reading, but I do need to, like, read something, you know, more fun, a little lighter, a little more off topic. And so sometimes I reach for Hemingway, or sometimes I'll reach for Poe, you know, a little bit of literature here and there. But I've been missing reading about World War II and from the Pacific theater. I mean, you know, you guys know we were real heavy, hot and heavy with B-17s. Masters of the Air came out, and all the stuff I love studying there. I was doing a paper about daylight bombing and its significance. So, man, it's been a while since I've read about the Pacific, and I've been missing it. So I picked up this book here called No Bended Knee, The Battle for Guadalcanal. This is the memoir of General Merle Twining. And I don't know why we don't hear more about General Twining, because the guy's like the father of everything in the Marine Corps. You know, he served under Smedley Butler. He served under General Vandegrift. Well, when Vandegrift was first MARDIV commander, he was his, you know, part of his, one of his advisors. You know, the guy just knew everybody. He picked the location for what became known as Camp Pai Kakariki in Wellington, New Zealand. Like, this guy was sent to New Zealand ahead of time, and you know, linked up with some of New Zealand, you know, both civilian and military personalities down there. And Vandegrift was like, pick a spot for the first Mardiv to live. And so that's what he did. He reconned all this. He was like, oh my gosh, this place is great. It was originally known as McKay's Crossing. It's about 20 miles north of Wellington, but it had everything but an Arty range. But the Arty range was just north of Wellington, closer to town, I guess. So they had that accessibility. They had, it was, you know, a quarter mile wide, just nice and flat, a couple miles long. You know, good mountains to one side. Then they had water access and even some inlets, so they could start with this amphibious training that they knew they needed but didn't know what they needed, if you know what I mean. So he's the one who picked Camp Pai Kakariki. Then he was also, and Don, you've talked about this, he's also the guy that helped solve a lot of the worker strikes at the dock there.
Yeah.
He was directly involved in that and was like, why don't we do this? And everybody was like, you're a genius. Do that. I mean, the guy, he retired as a four-star general, but he did everything about everything that had to do with the Marines at the beginning of World War II and even before that. I mean, the guy served in China. He served in Haiti in the Banana Wars. He's a 1923 Annapolis graduate, and he just –